Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, this has been quite a week. Who would believe it? We had a protest. Well, there was a protest here in the city of Benton Harbor. And they invited U.S. Representative Fred Upton, a known racist. He just wanted to get a photo app with the people, and they allowed him to speak. It was not my protest. It was my protest. He wouldn't have been invited, and he definitely would not have spoken. But sometimes that is the main problem that we are having when we talk about justice. You see, I don't even know the definition of justice. I never known it. I never seen it. I don't even know what justice looked like. I don't know. You know, we're living in a time now where things is going so fast, and you got these people who have never, ever did anything but did harm to the community, and you got them speaking for the good people. In other words, you got bad people speaking for good people. Now, who in their right mind will allow Fred Upton, the heir to Whirlpool, to speak at anything concerning black people? It just tells you why we do not have justice in this time. We keep doing the same thing over and over, over again. We allow people to come into our circle who do not mean us any good. Those of you who might know Fred Upton, he's about to lose this race for U.S. representative. So now he's come out so he can court the black vote. You see, most black people just want to be friends with them. They don't want to be friends with you. But this is what they want. They want to come over here only when they need you. And when they need you, you accept them into the fold like they've been there all along. Yeah, some of you might know Fred Upton, the United States representative. It's disgraceful. It's shameful. Barron County Courthouse. Judge Charles Lasada. Judge Dennis Wiley. Judge Sterling Sharrock. Judge Schofield, he retired, but his name should also be mentioned. This group of people have done more harm to black people than any single person in this world. They paid a group of people to have a protest so Fred Upton can come speak. Only in America. Only in America. Who would suspect such a thing? That's what they do. And here's the bad news. They're going to do it again. Because the election is not until November. You see, black folks, they just want to be loved. That's all. Just give me a little love. You know. That's all. They just want to be loved. They think if they allow this man to come speak, that he's going to put his arms around them. He has never done it in the last 30 to 35 years. But now, all of a sudden, he's going to come out and give you love. Wow. Amazing. He's part of the reason that we have never seen justice. If justice hit me right in my face today, I would know it. I don't know the definition of justice. Never witnessed it. Not as a black person. Never will. I remember in court, the 16-year-old boy had killed his stepfather. And another 16-year-old boy killed a man he didn't know. The judge, Sterling Sharrock, told the 16-year-old white boy that prison will do you no good. I'm not going to ruin your life because you made a mistake. So I'm going to give you probation. I'm going to give you 5 years to make sure that, you know, people won't be hollering and crying about it. Then he told the black young man, I'm going to give you life in prison, only 16, without the possibility of parole. So from now on, you will never ever see any daylight. You can't be rehabilitated. You're going to spend the rest of your life in prison. Same crime, one black, one white. Amazing. Who would believe? Jessica Gray, still missing since December 1st. The man that shot and killed her is the son of the barbecue man. I'll call him Barbecue Bobby. He has some kind of connection with the Benton Township Police Department. I have asked that we define Benton Township Police Department. What he have done or what they have done to this community. I don't even know how to explain it. This girl, mother, go out searching for this girl every single day. They blew this case. Most likely, even if they took him to trial, probably end up being found not guilty. And the reason why, they contaminated the crime scene. They had a puddle of blood in front of the house. These idiots walked in the blood. There was blood found in the automobile that he drove to Columbus, Ohio. Blood found inside the house. And they walked all through the blood. Who would believe it? Who would believe it? Contamination. Wow. You only see it on TV, but it's real. So here's my question to anybody who wants to answer it. What is justice? I don't know what justice is. Like I said, I never known it. I never seen it. Not in the black community. And if you're black, most likely you have not seen it. Maybe if we get our heads together and come forward and stop being bootlickers and sellouts, we can find justice maybe for our children. Maybe. The question is, what is justice? I'm going to bring in my first guest. And my first guest himself, let me make sure I have the right number for him. Terry Brewer, my man. Terry Brewer, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, all right. Absolutely. I tell you, it's just been amazing. What an amazing week we have. But I know you have something that you want to talk to us about. Tell us what you want us to know. Tell us how. Here's what I'm going to do. First, introduce yourself. Then tell us how everything started. That's what I want from you.
Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Terry Brewer. I live in Portland, Oregon, and I am what you call a targeted individual. This crime is about the experimentation, the use of directed energy weapons and psyops and things to experiment on people to control one's mind and body. I know that might be hard to believe, but throughout this, I'm going to give you some stuff you can reference and look up and whatnot. So if you get a pen and paper, it might be useful. I own and operate a website called StopGangStalkingCrimes.com. I became a victim in January of 2015. The way it started for me was, and I might want to mention, I've been told I probably was targeted before then, but this is just the point in which I can actually reference and say 100% that I became a target, was in January of 2015. And what it felt like is clicking inside of my head, which is something they found out radar during 1945. Troops would march in front of radar things, and it would make clicking and stuff of their head. So I found out by clicking inside of my head and floating feeling. And then soon after that, I lived in an apartment. They started running around, banging on the walls outside the apartment. They cut a hole through the apartment next door and climbed into my attic to play games. Now, the reason why they do this to a targeted individual is when they first get it to them, they do what is called a psyops. They try to control all the information around the target. The reason for that is because if they control the information around the target and make them seem mentally ill, then nobody's going to believe them. I mean, think about it. If somebody from law enforcement comes to you with a badge, whether he is or not, and says, hey, your neighbor has some problems. If you do some noise campaigns, you do this, and you help us out, we'll get him into a mental institution, and he'll get all the help that he can ever need. This is the type of things they go out and sell and recruit neighbors and stuff. In my investigation, I showed that a lot of neighbors do this for free. They participate because they think that they're doing something good for society. I also think I should mention that some insiders told me that they purposely recruit from churches and stuff because they sell to people that they are doing something wonderful, even as if it is God's work. This whole program is meant to break a person down. It's meant to push you to the limit to get you locked up in an institution where they can do further experimentation and stuff on you, or to where you will commit a crime, so you will get locked up in jail, so therefore you will also be in an institution where you're confined and they can have at you, or even to some points they've pushed people to the point where they've committed suicide, and some others have acted out in different ways. The crime, they go through many different phases. In my case, I was stalked heavily in the beginning. Neighbors and people around me stalked, and actually some of the participants told me that they were told that I was mentally ill, and if they just helped out a little bit, they would get me into an institution. And then I would be all better because I would get all the help that I possibly can need. Something else I'd like to mention to you guys while you listen to this too is that I forgot to mention in the beginning is my mother is also a victim. She's actually pulling up right now and coming inside. And the other thing is with my math that I've done, there's been 7 million victims of this crime worldwide. Now that's more than the coronavirus has infected. And that's something to think about why I'm talking about this. In the beginning, the psyops that they control the information, and that's how they get the neighbors and stuff to participate in the crimes. They also use law enforcement. Now, I've talked a great deal of law enforcement. 12 Portland police officers here in Portland, Oregon, have admitted to me that they know this crime is real. I recently found out that they sign a non-disclosure statement. That's one of the reasons why they don't want to talk about it. But many of your police departments have what is called an ADS or active denial system. I'll get into that a little bit later. That's the reason, one of the reasons why they're signing non-disclosure statements. One of the biggest questions that people like you that are listening to me right now, they ask, and this is almost in every conversation, is how did you get picked? Or how does another GI get picked? Well, the simple truth is some of it is for, they go after whistleblowers. Some of it is revenge for hire, and some of it is going after activists. But the main part of the picture is think of the world as a laboratory, and us, the people, are in a cage on a shelf. So the answer to the question is why does the scientist walk in and open up the cage and grab one mice and he doesn't grab the others inside? Because throughout the 4 years that I've been researching this stuff, I cannot find any patterns that show that people are criminals or weirdos or deviants. Because, to be honest, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're priests, they're reverends, they're children. They come from all ages and all walks of life. So I could not find any pattern in the reason why people are targeting it. Actually, the fact that my mom became a victim of it too because she spoke out and stuff just goes to show that these are random victims for the most part that are being targeted through all this. Another thing that I want to step into here is I want to give you, this is a quick list, a rundown of tactics. Now, it's a very short list. Please keep that in mind. But I just want to give you an idea of the types of things that they do to a targeted individual, people like me, on a day-to-day basis. Now, these tactics include baiting, bribing, character assassination, cyber stalking, directed energy weapons, our dues, drugging, electronic harassment, emotional terror, experimentation, gaslighting, humiliation, infiltration, and influence, intimidation, misdirection, microchip implant, mobbing, street theater, noise campaigns, property damage, sleep deprivation, etc. Now, sleep deprivation, I put on the end, is because that is one of the biggest things they do against GIs. If you think about it, it makes the GI look crazy in the first place. If any of you guys have gone without sleep long enough, you know that you don't think clearly. You start to have some problems functioning with your balance and stuff. So, and it causes many health problems over a period of time. Sorry about that. I had to let my mother in. So,
okay.
Over the period of time, the sleep deprivation creates problems for the targeted individual along with the directed energy weapons. So I want to go into two of the weapons that I feel safe about talking about, because not only have people from the FBI admitted to me, but police officers admitted to me too. The first one that I want to talk about is called the active denial system, which I mentioned earlier. And it's used quite often. What an active denial system for most GIs is when a GI is, imagine laying in your bed, okay, go directly behind your body. Most GIs somewhere, the ones that have directed energy weapons use, have an automated active denial system set up. And what the system does is it heats the GI and creates a great amount of discomfort from them, so it keeps them awake. It causes health problems and other things. So I'll read this for you. Automated active denial system. The ADS works by firing a high-powered 100-watt output beam of 95 gigahertz at the target, which corresponds to a wavelength which is 3.2. The ADS meter wave energy works similar to a principle of a microwave oven, exciting the water and fat molecules in the skin. The ADS effect, it repels humans and acquires a slightly higher than 44 degrees Celsius, which is 111 degrees Fahrenheit. First degree burns occur at 50 degrees Celsius, 124 degrees Fahrenheit, and second degree burns start at 50 Celsius, so 136 degrees. So if you look up on the internet, you can look up their directed energy weapon burns. More than likely, what you're seeing are burns from this active denial system. They claim in their documentation that it goes in 0.04 into the skin, and that's all it's heating. But if you stop and think, your cell phones are microwaves. Your microwave oven is microwaves. Your cell phone signal goes through concrete. It goes through wood. It goes through the human body. So even if they are heating a target skin, it's still affecting their brain and causing many problems. And at nighttime, most of the time, the targeting is usually on the organs or one of the shoulders in the back of the head to create as much discomfort as they can. The next device that I wanted to mention to you guys, and I'm sure you've heard people complain about this, and this is one of the ways they try to mirror schizophrenia. By the way, most people get schizophrenia from the age 14 to 28. So if somebody comes and starts telling you neighbors all of a sudden turn schizophrenic and stuff and trying to sell you this crime, you might think about that part. Because most of the time, people that get mental illness is usually early on in life. So the next one is called microwave auditory effect. Now, many targeted individuals, I do not have this myself, although that I've been told that the clicking in the head and stuff comes from the microwave auditory effect too. Now, what they do is they use that to put voices in somebody's skull. Sometimes it's somebody talking to a targeted individual. Sometimes it is an AI. And what I mean is that it's an artificial intelligence. It's like a recording or something that's just saying a bunch of words and repeating things over and over to mess with the TI. Very much often it will talk about what they're doing or something they said during the day, because repeating a TI's words are one way to get a hold of them or to get to them, you know, to aggravate them and stuff, and what better way to do it through their head. So I'll read this little thing here. The microwave auditory effect, known as the microwave hearing effect or the Fry's effect, consists of human perception of auditory clicks, even speech, to introduce pulse and modulated radio frequencies. The communications are generated directly inside the human head without the need for any receiving electronic devices. And what that means is they don't have to have any type of implant or chip in their head to receive this. All they got to do is have a clear area so that they can beam it to the person's head all the time. The effect was reported by the person working in vicinity of radar transponders during the World War II, which is what I mentioned to you guys earlier, in 1961, the nature of the microwave auditory effect. Alan H. Fry was the first American to publish on the microwave auditory effect. Human auditory system responds to modular electromagnetic energy. Now, electromagnetic energy, you're going to hear a lot about when you hear people talking about this crime, because a lot of these weapons that they use that are for psychological and stuff all are based on electromagnetic principles. And so that's going to be quite common technology. Even your phone has that. A CPU generates that in your computer. Okay, and it goes on to introduce sound, described as a buzz, clicking, or hissing, or knocking, depending on several transmitter parameters, pulse, with the pulse repetition rate. By changing the transmitter parameters, symptoms as dizziness and nausea. So that's a, many TIs talk about dizziness and nausea. They also have a nauseator while we're talking about weapons. You can buy some of these weapons. This is how sick our society has become. You can actually go buy some of these weapons on, like, Futuristic One and Amazon and stuff. And what they say is, buy this nauseator, to give you an idea. You can hide it in somebody's house to make them sick, create pain on people. Our society is now selling these things. There's also one of the reasons I had mentioned some of the victims are for revenge for hire. If you can remember this name, it's called NefariousJobs.com. Now, NefariousJobs.com, if you go to their website, for $22,000, you can pay to have somebody's life destroyed. That's another thing that drives these programs, is security outfits. But for the most part, it is a rogue part of our government that's doing this. And I'll touch bases on something that the Reverend said earlier. If we don't go along with these crimes, we don't participate in this corruption and stuff, we can help stop these crimes. But it has to have a certain amount of the public participation for all of these programs. even though the public might participate in it, think about it. We're voting for the people. We're participating. We're putting the same guys back into office over and over and over that are creating these illicit crimes, keeping the racism going, the ones that led the pedophiles keep getting in there. Those people that we're putting in the office, those are the people that are not doing what we want. They're not stopping these illegal programs. They're supporting this stuff. So that's something we should always be thinking about on a constant basis. Now, what I want to do is reference something for the Iraqi war that you guys can look up. Voice the God weapon, that's what they called it during this time, which was actually called S-Quad or Silent Sound Spectrum, was used in the first operation in Desert Storm. That was one of the scenarios where 1,500 Iraqi soldiers disassembled their weapons, got on their knees, and surrendered to 150 Marines who didn't have enough slip ties to tie them all together, and this was admitted. They used the S-Quad to put the voice of Allah in their heads to tell them to surrender. So basically, to break that down, is the microwave auditory effect that I'm telling you about. They used it during the Iraqi war on some soldiers all over there, and it was so believing, and it came inside their head, and they thought it was God talking to them, so they disassembled their weapons, and they surrendered. So this is actual proof they're using this technology into war. Now imagine somebody out on the street, just you or your neighbor or your kid or your mother, calling you up one day and saying, oh my God, I got all these weird voices in your head. Now, the first thing you're going to think is they're crazy. But we are no longer in the age of science fiction. We're in the age of science fact. So when somebody does come to you with these things that I'm talking about today, please give them consideration. Stop and think. Do some investigation. I tell everybody that if you hear about a subject and you make a decision right then, you're normally wrong. You have to hear both sides of an argument so you can make an informed decision. Otherwise, it's just a judgment call. And when we do that, we're normally wrong. Now, the next thing I want to go into is Ted Gunderson. He was the former head of the FBI. Ted Gunderson worked at the FBI office from 1951 to 1979. But from 1977 to 1997, he was a senior agent in charge in Los Angeles, California. Now, Ted Gunderson did all of the stuff that I'm talking about. It's on my website, by the way. It's at stopgangstalkingcrimes.com. Ted Gunderson did an affidavit for a case for somebody against this crime. And this is what he said. I think this is very important. Because Ted Gunderson worked on the COINTELPRO, which is the illegal program that was ran by our FBI, and he states this. This makes the FBI's former COINTELPRO program, which I've worked on, including in a supervisory capacity, look like a Sunday school program in comparison. So he's talking about a program that he actually worked on and was a supervisor that was illegal, and he makes this gang stalking program makes it look like a Sunday school program. So, and you got to think about Ted Gunderson. They tried to discredit him and everything. But these people, he made it to the head chief of the Los Angeles division of the FBI. He ran that office. You don't get there by having mental problems or being discreditable or anything like that. That man worked his way up through the ranks, and he earned the title that he got. So when he spoke out, people should have took real listening to the things that he spoke out. And the next one I want to go into is Jesse Ventura. He had a show called Brain Invaders. And on there, he talks, he also mentioned that he was a Navy SEAL and he was the governor of Minnesota. In there, Jesse asked one of his people, he asked former CI Mark Phillips. So they actually send things through the airwaves. They can target one individual with this. Or they have the ability to do that. And Mark Phillips answers, well, yes. And they also have the ability to do mass population. There is a variety of answers, and all of them go back to the same thing, electromagnetic pulse. So that's back to the electromagnetic pulse. I don't know. In 1997, I believe, the CIA updated Margaret Thatcher on frequencies in which they could compel the population to do things like to start a riot or make you depressed, etc., things like that. There is so much documentation about frequencies out there and the things that they can do to the human body, even plants and animals. If we don't stand up to stop these things, these type of crimes are going to get much worse. Senator Glenn stated on the House Senate floor in the 105th Congress session, first session, you just think about your family, your own son, your own daughter, your grandchild, who might be the next time they got a doctor the subject of some medical experiment that they are not even told about. I do not think there can be many things more un-American than that. So there are many people that are, there's many people fighting this. The reason why I'm giving you this information today, guys, is so that you can look all this up. I figured I could go on and tell my whole story, and if he would like me back to do that, I could do that at some time. But I want this crime is so horrific. I want to touch on some bases so that you guys can look these things up so that you know when you hear people talk about this, there are documents and references to this. Jim Guest, let me read a letter. In October 10th of 2007, Jim Guest, who is a senator, he wrote this to federal legislators and friends. This letter is to ask you for your help in many constituents in our country who are being affected unjustly by electronic weapons and torture, or covert harassment groups. Serious privacy rights and violations of physical injuries have been caused by the activities of these groups and their use of called non-lethal weapons on men, women, and even children. I'm asking you to play a role in helping these victims and also stopping massive movement in use of the VeriChip or LFD technology in tracking humans. Long before the VeriChip is known, we were testing these devices on Americans, many without their known knowledge and consent. With the new revelations of the cancer risk, besides the privacy of human rights problems, with us use of the VeriChips and RF signals, I am asking for your help to stop this abuse and aiding those already affected. Your attendance is therefore requested at the conference and call in regards to these issues on Monday, October 29th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. After a period of brief presentations, we will have a discussion on the issues with the intent of creating a way forward towards solution. Here is the call information. So, see, people have gone to bat for us in government even. But the thing is, they get shot down, they get pushed aside. And we the people, that's very important. The Constitution says we the people. The problem with what's going on in America right now, I hate to say this, guys, but we the people are the problem, because we the people are letting it go on. Because this country was designed for us to stand up. We gotta, if we don't like what's going on in our government, we gotta vote different, we gotta think different, and we gotta stand
up.
I truly believe that one of the reasons why the corruption and all this that's going on right now is because we are not standing up. We see things. What a common thing is when I go out and talk to the public about this crime is they'll say, well, it doesn't affect me, so why should I bother? And I tell them it could affect your wife, it could affect your kids, it could affect the future of anybody that you guys talk to. All of you are probably sitting out here right now listening to me, and one of the first things people say, well, it'll never happen to me. Do you not think that every targeted person has said that? I said it. My mom said it. Everybody. We all say that we're not going to be victims of crimes, but yet we are. Why are we? Because we don't stand up for what is right. The people around me, my neighbors here in this park, I am currently in a dispute with them because 12 people in the park have done noise campaigns. This is how sick this crime is. I took copies of these noise campaigns and crimes being committed against me, and my manager is still trying to evict me because somebody has went and talked to him and tried to say that I'm some type of bad person. He didn't bother to look at the evidence. He didn't bother to listen to the recordings. I have probably $1,200 worth of damage to my trailer. Management here at the property would not come over even look at it. So that tells you what a target individual, because I can't just run out and go to the cops and say, hey, this is happening, because when I went to 106 precincts and complained about it, the cop told me, Portland police officer, quote, my supervisors will not let us write up complaints about these crimes at this time. But, yes, they need to be stopped. See, so that's what a target individual is up against. When I went to the FBI, the guy laughed at me. I spent time talking to him probably about an hour, and he kind of smiled and jerked around. When he got up from the table, I looked at him, and I said, they called you and let you know I was coming before I got there. He nodded his head yes and went on. And there's so much going on behind the scenes here. I'll give you some more. This is how I found out about this crime from how big it was. One day I was in a parking lot in Gresham, Oregon, and a Gresham police officer who was in a plain clothes, and he drove up his car next to my car, and I thought it was kind of weird. But what he said to me is this. He said, the people behind the crimes will not stop until they destroy your life. And I said, well, will you come forward and help me? This is what the police officer said. I cannot. They would come after me and my kids. That's what he said. Here's another statement from a Portland police officer.
Gary, before you go on, let me say this to you. You got two and a half minutes, and I'm not going to cut you off right now, but what I want you to do, I want you to come back. I want you and your mom to be on the show next week. And that way, because she can verify most of everything that you're saying. So here, you got 2.5 minutes to say whatever you want, and then I got to bring in Belinda Parker Brown, and then I got to bring in Jack. I got to make sure I get those in today. So let me tell us what you want us to know these last 2 minutes.
Okay. Here's what I want you guys to take away from this. When anybody talks about any conspiracy theories, that's what they mention a lot of this are. Keep this in mind. Always when somebody's talking about something, there is usually some type of truth if you do investigation, except for a few things out there like flat earth and whatnot. But here's what I want you to take a truth. Instead of making a judgment call about this or any subject, always try to go out and do some research. I wrote on my cards that if you spend 1 hour researching this crime, you will believe it's real. And so far, anybody that has spent 1 hour researching has not come back to me and said, hey, this is not real. And when you guys think about this crime or victims of this crime, please don't look at them as somebody that's mentally ill. Look at them as a victim of a crime. Talk with them. If you have a family member or somebody you know, don't look down on them. Stand beside them. Stand up with them. Be with them. We are all stronger together. These crimes are real, and I'm telling you right now, if we don't cooperate and we work hard, we can change the world, but we have to do it together. We can't walk out there and do it by ourselves. I can't do this building a website and doing all this stuff, stopping this crime. I got to have you, the people, support. What the Reverend was talking about earlier before I came on, it takes you, the people, to stop things like this. Racism and this illegal corruption and all these crimes and stuff around the world, it takes the people to support things like it and let it go on. Because when we realize these crimes are real and all this racism and these different things are going on, it's only when we're silenced that something doesn't happen. So what I'm asking you to do is go out there, is do your little bit of research. If you find this is real and you know your family or somebody could be a victim, then stand up and help fight for what's right. And that's how we will change the world and make it into the place that it's meant to be.
All right, Terry, you know, one of the things that you said that really got my attention, when you talk about the Iraq soldiers, how they just dropped their arms and everything. And like you said, it was only around 100 to 150 troops there that they had to fight against, and these are people who fight until they die. You know, they fight to the death.
Yep.
They don't just. You'll never see in history that this group. I think they call themselves the Armed Guard or something. Saddam
yeah.
group. But they fight to the death. You know, they're in the army to die in the army, but yet still they dropped all their arms and surrendered to the United States of America. Wow, that is really, really amazing. But look, Terry, I got to let you go. I really appreciate you. And listen, next week I want your mama, you and your mama on next week.
Okay, I will be back next Sunday then.
All right then. On that note, I got to bring in Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only. Who else could be? From Slidell, Louisiana. Talk to me, Belinda Parker Brown. Talk to me. Tell
hey,
me what's going on in your world. It's going down,
you know,
girl. It's going down.
Yeah. You know it's going down, Pastor Pinckney. I'm telling you right now, you know, at the top of your show, all I could think about was Banco and Benton Harbor when I first met you, Pastor Pinckney. And that's been what, about almost 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at what's happening in the world today, you know, if these people would have listened, you know, a lot of this stuff wouldn't be happening right now. If they would have grabbed hope to the movement that Banco was doing in Benton Harbor, you know, back in 1992 or something like that, you know, when I met you. But, Pastor Pinckney, you know, this is real. You know, you said, you know, that we got these young people out here, you know, that ain't never, you know, protest before. You know, they're trying to head up, you know, organizing and mobilizing and having rallies and protests and stuff, and they're getting themselves killed. And, you know, we just had a 23-year-old young girl that was murdered, you know, at a protest in New Orleans a couple of days ago. And it was really sad because I was supposed to be there. And they want to have these night protests and, you know, traps and everything has been set for them, you know, to basically, you know, destroy them. And it's really sad also that we got a lot of, you know, first-time white protesters. You know, that I really believe that it's good that the white people, you know, are out there, you know, standing, you know, with this type of illumination and outrage. But it's really, we have to be very, very careful because I know for a fact that some of them has been planted to infiltrate, to circumvent, you know, to steal the narrative, to make it look like, you know, that they're saying one thing to our face. You know, we all good and, you know, a lot of fluffed and puffed and then the next thing they doing something else behind my back. So, you know, we got to be real careful, Pastor Pinckney. And I just want to say, you know, they're jumping up and down, screaming and hollering, you know, shouting Black Lives Matter, you know, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. And, you know, whining and crying about it. You know, the Chairman O'Malley said it best. You know, don't they know that by now that Black lives don't matter? Don't they know? Don't we know that
they don't
know
get it.
That Black lives
they don't
matter
get it.
Don't matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
To,
they don't.
I got to get it right,
Belinda,
because it's kind of
right.
funny.
Absolutely.
It's kind of funny because I'm like, we screaming and hollering and whining, oh, Black lives matter. Black lives matter, you know, Black lives matter too, T-O-O. You know, that's our problem. You know, as black people, we always want to whine and cry. You know, and Chairman O'Malley said, you know, he said it best. I bet they won't say black power, you know, because they know if we grab a hold to black economics, you know, black economics, and, you know, and I guarantee you they won't be sick because, you know, that's power, right? Political,
yeah,
political,
absolutely.
You know, we vote our people in office. You know, that's power. You know, we vote our people that stand for, you know, what's right in power. OK, then that's black power. You know, they don't want to say black power, Pastor Pinckney. You know it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You see that?
You know,
see,
let's see if we can get them saying black power. Let's see if we can get them saying black power.
Yeah,
all the white people need to be saying black power. You know, because that's what they done did. They, you know, we got all of this, you know, this grabs for, you know, who want to be drunk on power, who want to be sick on power, and they have empowered us and got us running around like yo-yos, you know, running around in circles, you know, trying to, like, somebody texted me the other day. It was so sad. They said the only looting that's going on in their community is the liquor stores, you know, and, you know, they want to make it look like the black people trying to get, they try to get drunk off the liquor while the white establishment's getting drunk off power because, you know, that's what they want. They want money and power. That's all they want. And that's what we got to steal the narrative from them, Pastor Pickney. We got to wake up and realize that, you know, we as black people deserve the same respect as any other race or nationality. We as black people got to know how to unite, marry our money, stick together, you know, build our communities, you know, and do what we need to do to make sure that we got the economic base to shut down or put people out of office that we know that shouldn't be there. I don't care if they black or white. It don't make no difference to
me. That's right.
So my concern is that if they ain't standing for black power, then I don't. They can get out of my face, like the chairman O'Malley said. If they not for black power, I don't want to hear nothing they got to say because I already know that they know that we know that black lives don't matter. They done showed us that. Okay, they done showed us that better than they can tell us. Anytime they shooting us down in the back, okay, they, you know, putting their knee on our neck in broad daylight while the whole world is watching, and then if they not doing that, they lynching us in the courtroom. So, you know, what else do we need to know that black lives don't matter?
Amen. Amen. That's why we got to say black power. Black power. Black power. Gotta
black
get
power.
Them. That's right.
That's right.
Gotta get them. Gotta get them because
right.
But also remember this:
black
power also unifies folks who have probably never been unified before.
Right.
I like it, Belinda. That's what we should be saying. Remember that separated Carmichael from Martin Luther King. Carmichael was hollering, "Black power, black power." You see, they didn't get that.
Yes, they didn't get that. Well, that's what I was shouting at the protest. You know, I was shouting, "Game over, black power, black power, black power." Okay, because you know, as far as I'm concerned, everything black counts. Everything black counts. Okay, we was black before anything happened here. You know, we was black before they even brung us here.
and then here's the thing too. Now. They people got to get off that couch and stand up and fight back. It's the numbers that counts. You see what I'm saying? This is what intimidates them. This is what scared Trump and made him go to the basement bunker without his wife and son. You see, see, they want to take his wife and son with him. He said, "No, leave them up here. We need to get to the bunker, to the basement immediately." You know, they ain't gonna mess with my wife and son. They after me.
He said, and you know, we need to get people to join up with the black Black is Back Coalition, Pastor Pickney. You know, it's all right to have your own organization and your pop-up groups, but, you know, we got to unite on a strong, united front across this country, you know, we got to evolve. You know, a lot of people, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to evolve. That's the word for the hour. We have to evolve as black people, okay? Because, you know, I wanted to talk about the political prisoners, you know, that are being held up in these godforsaken hellhole, you know, jails and prisons across the state of Louisiana. And we got to get these people free because I believe that they are the heir and they are they're going to be the frontliners for the change that's coming, Pastor Pickney, because they're not going to be afraid of nothing. You know, they're not going to be afraid of anything. And we're going to be able to build cities, if not countries, in regards to how black people have to realize that it's time for us to evolve. And we got to be a part of something. That our leadership have failed us. You know, leadership means first. You know, if you can't follow, then you can't lead. That's what people don't understand, Pastor Pinckney. Leadership means first. Okay, somebody got to be first with the vision and know where we going, how we going to get there, and understand how we going to win, okay? You know, so people need to evolve and stop trying to be me, myself, and I. You know, this my organization. We doing this. I want to get the credit. I want to get the mic. I want to get in front of the camera. You know, they got to stop that dumb stuff because that's what got us in the state and condition that we've been in for the last 400 years because somebody want to get a name for themselves.
And you said the magic word. Listen, Belinda.
Unite so that we can evolve.
Belinda, I can only give you two more minutes. Tell us what you want us to know.
Well, I want you to know, Pastor Pinckney, that you know, Reverend Victor, you know, is a political prisoner here in Louisiana that's being held kidnapped. You know, he's being held hostage, you know, with terrorist acts going on with this COVID-19 inside of the prisons and jails. You know, it's a death threat. You know, on this man, and it's a crying shame for innocent people to be subject to this deadly coronavirus inside of these prisons and jails that spread like wildfire, and they're innocent. You know, Pastor Victor is an innocent man. The highest court in the land, the United States Supreme Court, have vacated his conviction. He is not guilty of anything, and they're still holding him. You know, this is a crying shame. You know, the world ought to be shame of itself. It's a disgrace to the United States, and I'm saying that free these people, let them go so that they can be home with their families and not locked up for to die from this coronavirus.
Absolutely.
Thank
I strongly, strongly agree with you, Belinda Parker Brown, and I think you did a magnificent job on yesterday. I really, really appreciate your fight and stay strong. And listen, it's going down. That's all I can tell you. It's going down, Belinda
Parker
Brown.
But I love you, Pastor Pinckney, you and Dorothy, you know, you family. And I just want to say how much I enjoyed you today on the webinar. You know, we're talking about, you know, elector, you know, how we going to put the right people in office and get the bad ones out. You know, that's so important right now. You know, that's a plan.
Absolutely.
That's a plan. That's something everybody needs to jump on. And you kept on. When you asked to donate, I didn't hesitate. You almost got all of my money, Pastor Pinckney, today.
Oh, no. Not ever. Carl, the man. I'm not making your husband mad. You can forget that, girl. Right on. Listen,
man, you
I gotta let you go.
Right. Every little bit counts.
Every little bit.
You know,
all
I
right.
want
you
people
take
to go
yourself.
To our website. And, have everybody, the listeners, go to our website at www.launited.org. That stands for Louisiana United International, and they can go and give us a donation because every little bit counts. We're doing some great work, and I guarantee you, they won't be disappointed because we're going to get thousands of people free and, you know, reduce the population in these hellhole prisons and jails.
All right, my girl. All right, Belinda Parker Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. I will talk to you very soon. Take care of yourself. Give the family a big hug for me. It's time to bring in the one and only, my good friend Jack today. I promised that he would be on the show. And I'm going to give him time to talk about whatever his heart desires, because I think it's important. Next week, I'm going to get my good friend Amy on, and I want to give her time so she can explain exactly what happened, because this is my TI family. You know, this is important to me. It's crucial that the world know the truth. You know, I remember years ago when I was talking about the Iraq army, and what happened with them. You know, oh, no, the United States is not like that. They don't do stuff like that. This is a very evil, wicked country, I tell you. I got to bring in my good friend, Jack. Are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, Reverend Pinckney. Yeah, my good friend. Oh, You know what? And I can, I've been working on this for 12 and a half years, and we're getting better and better and better. And just so everyone knows, just like anything in life, you always get better as you, as time goes on, whether it's the litigation we're doing, whether it's, you know, the public awareness, we're getting better and better. And I want to commend you, Reverend, for being on the front lines, because this is going to break. It really is going to break. And the ones that are early on, are we're going to be able to take the credit for it, for exposing this illegal targeting program. It really is evil, and I thought about this every day for the past 12 and a half years. And you know, is there any possible explanation this illegal targeting program that our government is involved in? And there is none. It's not research. It's not an experiment. They're just crimes. I have experience with this every day. And so yeah, we'll be able to talk more about this. And yeah, the country, the American people, I still have faith in them. I think it's more of lack of awareness. I think that's the problem. But yeah, everyone should care about each individual victim, each individual person. Of course, that's how our country's supposed to be. But even more so, this is America. And we're American citizens. They're suppressing freedom. This is a suppression of freedom. This is just a, you know, and doing this little, gang stalking and all the different things they do is a distraction from what they're really trying to do. They're trying to I don't believe in mind control, but it's mind influence. You know, mind control is too strong of a word, but it's mind. They're trying to control, you know, influence. And by the way, this has already been done. There's something called MK Ultra that was done in the 1950s, 1960s, exposed in the 1970s. And some people might say, oh, that sounds like a conspiracy theory. Well, no. There was a United States Supreme Court case. It's called CIA, SIMS, S-I-M-S versus CIA, SIMS v. CIA. And the United States Supreme Court talked about it. So, I mean, that's like the Bible of law, our United States Supreme Court. And they talk about it. That MKUltra was real, and they say the CIA was trying to control human behavior. It's their words. So this is old news, and then it was exposed, and supposedly they stopped. But no, they either never stopped, or they're starting to back up. But that's the ultimate goal, is they're trying to control human behavior, and they disguise it in some kind of like national security or, you know, protecting against terrorism or whatever they're doing. But it's no, these are actual crimes. And it's basically there's two steps where you have to, you know, provide the proof. We're doing the research and getting the proof, and then it's the activism. Pretty much those two steps. It's getting the documentation and then the activism, and that's what I've been doing. And on the proof, the websites that were already mentioned are great. I have a website called targetedevidence.com, and it's really good stuff. It's not personal evidence. It's all evidence from mainstream media. It's evidence from our government itself via FOIA request. It's evidence of whistleblowers, and the NSA and CIA and FBI. It's really good evidence that can be used in court. And this is all real. This is, you know, it talks about organized stalking, directed energy weapons, voice to skull, remote neuromonitoring, and then the threats to silence people, and again, it's all on there. And then I have a personal website called Life of John Christiana, my birth name, and that one's actually really good too, because it shows what it's like for one person, and they've done everything to me. And I've been in a situation where I've been able to document it, and I have the, you know, like when they falsified my cholesterol, I have the hospital records. When doctors lied, I have videos and documentation to prove it. And whether it's psychiatric doctors, I have proof of that. They try to say I'm crazy for talking about targeting. And so what I did is I went to a hospital. I got I found out a suppositron emission tomography scan that is the test for schizophrenia. So I got that scan done. Cost me $1,500, and guess what? The California licensed medical doctor said, nope, normal brain. So now I have medical proof to contradict. If a psychiatrist is going to say you're talking about targeting, that's crazy. So I've done everything. I have the documentation, and you know, they're shocking. You know, it's like direct energy weapons. You know, shocking my body parts and stuff. And I took journals. I have years on my website. I have years and years and years and years of journals where I write down the exact time. you know, because, you know, it's contemporaneous notes. So I've really that's what I've been doing for a long time, is documenting my personal evidence, and then I've been documenting now the overall evidence, our targeted evidence, and then now it's the activism, and it's now. That's why it's so great, Reverend. I'm so happy that you know, our TI brother, I'm so happy that you're putting the information out there so people know. It's I'm just so far beyond even trying to prove it. It's like it's such a done deal, you know. But I understand. I understand the general public. It still sounds crazy to them. So I of course I understand that. But so anyway, that's what we're doing.
And Jack, let me say this to you too, because the reason why it's important that we you know, even though there are some who might believe it, there's still a lot who don't believe it. So that's why that's why I have people come on the show so they could talk. Because when my TI family first started coming on the show, I was getting threatened, all kind of stuff, you know, people were saying. But I didn't let that stop me. So that's why you're so important, because I know that you have documentation to support whatever you're saying, and I love it. I love it, man. So you tell me or tell my audience exactly what you want them to know.
Okay, thank you. And I'll send you the information. But I'm in the process right now because I have a litigation against police departments. And I don't mean to offend anyone, but like when they did this to me, when they targeted me, I sarcastically said, you know, do I like black? And, you know, because black African Americans, of course, are targeted as a race. Because that's what they were doing. They lied. And I have proof of it. And so I'll be sharing the websites. And so I actually had proof. I have proof of the police chief actually changing the story, which under oath, which is perjury, of why he detained me and targeted me. And so so it's litigation, these civil rights organizations, public speaking I've been doing, and contacting agencies, meeting politicians, doing interviews just like this, protests and rallies. Sending out emails. I have a huge list, so I'm in the process right now of getting everything organized, and in fairly short time, hopefully this year, we'll be able to coordinate more with everyone, and instead of doing everything on separate tracks, you know, like litigation separately and then speaking at public meetings separately, we're going to merge everything, you know, and intertwine the emails with the public speaking, with the private meetings, with the litigation, with meeting politicians, contacting agencies, contacting Congress, having meetings there, just everything. And it's just time. I'm just so done with it. And so I'd like everyone to know that this program is real, and I can supply the website later on again. We're going to end. It's the same kind of thing that, you know, the African Americans have experienced for centuries. It's just more of a general one, where they just think someone is irrelevant. They think, you know, they pick someone, and they, for whatever reason, they're jealous or they're mad at them, and they're targeted, and then they just turn their lives upside down. So I just want everyone to know that, you know, we are in the process of turning this around. It's gonna, you know, I have on my Twitter, it's like, you know, give me liberty or give me death. Just like, by the way, that's what America was founded on: give me liberty or give me death. And I say one or the other is gonna happen. Either I'm gonna get my liberty back, I'm gonna stop being targeted with remote nerve monitoring, you know, and shocking my body parts, or they're gonna have to, you know, take me out. You know, it's one or the other is gonna happen. And that mindset is not unique. I mean, again, that's what our country was founded on. So, I mean, you know, thousands, millions of people think like that. And just like the African American community obviously has the same kind of thinking. We all want our liberty. That's the most fundamental thing we have, is our the integrity of our body, not only our body, but our name. And so I want everyone to know that we are, it's all real, and we are making the progress. We're finally, you know, getting organized to the point where, the last thing I'll say is that it's kind of like I'm going to write a book, but one of the titles I was considering is Aligning Parallel Worlds, because that's what it's like. They put this targeted community into like its own world, and they've successfully done that, and then there's the real world. So it's about aligning these worlds and dealing with reality, and because it is reality, you know, it's And so anyway, we're getting there. And I so appreciate you, Reverend Edward, being part of it. I mean, this is incredible. It's really going to happen. I have faith in our country if they know the truth.
Absolutely. And you know what? We got a job to do. We got to tell them the truth. You know, even if it means them not believing us. You see, we have to tell them the truth. And what they do with that truth is on them. See, we have completed
right.
our job once we tell them. You see, that's why a lot of times when I was getting all these weird calls and people was talking, are you, you know, this, and I said, yeah, that's true. But my job is to tell you the truth. I believe my TI family.
Exactly.
I believe what they're saying. And I believe that if you took the time out to do your own homework, you would also believe exactly what they're saying. You have to change the way you do business. It's so, so important. You see, I remember what happened to them Iraqi soldiers. To me, that was like, I said, that didn't make no sense to me. I mean, because I know they fight to the death. You see, every last one of them. You would have to kill every last one of them. But then all of
right.
a sudden, they just drop their arms. I'm not buying that. It wasn't no more than
right.
100, 125 American soldiers. That didn't make no sense. So, and also
yeah.
what happened in Cuba. Remember what happened in Cuba. You see,
right.
all this stuff ties into what's going on with the TI and my TI family. And I want
right.
people to know so they can understand how important it is. And here's the secret weapon that most people don't know. This is now I'm giving y'all some information right now. I know y'all don't know this. You might go around thinking, say, oh, I know that. You don't know it because you don't do it. The secret weapon is unity. If we came together, stood together,
sure.
and fought together, we can change a lot of things. We're never going to change anything until we stand together. It's all about the people. And when we get
right.
into our head, then we'll win.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have to worry about being a target in individual anymore. You could drop that label. You could drop that
right.
label. And it's time that people understood this. We got to go ahead and do what needs to be done. It's not just for Reverend Pinckney. It's for Jack. It's for Terry. It's for Belinda Parker Brown. It's from my friend from Detroit. And all these people. It's for everybody. And if we unite against these people, this government and stuff, we wouldn't have this problem. But we got to do what we got to do. And Jack,
right.
I want to tell you this. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on. And anytime that you can get off work and you come on, you let me know ahead of time, and I'll definitely make a few
sure.
minutes for you. That's a promise.
Fantastic.
Not
oh,
a
yeah,
place
of you. Thank you so much, Reverend. And by the way, yeah, thank you so much, Reverend. And we are making progress. And it's like every month things are happening. We have a lot planned. And I love your attitude because you're so right. I have a quote that I'll just say that I made, and that's called, it says, truth is a magical weapon. It only hurts the bad people. In other words, so most normally weapons, you know, hurt everyone, right? They don't know if it's a person's bad or good. But with truth, truth only hurts the bad people because the good people love truth,
mm-hmm.
right? The bad people hate
that's
truth.
Right.
So that's our secret weapon. Like you said, it's unity, and it's truth. It's just the truth. If you're right, we're
mm-hmm.
right. It's just, you know, and we can't be stopped. The only way to stop us is ourselves. We will win because we're right. We're right, and we're smart enough. And if we're persistent, that's it. That's the formula. You've got to be right and smart enough, and we certainly are, and persistent, and we, you know, until it happens. So we'll get there. So yeah, thank you so much. I so appreciate you, being on the front lines because I'm telling you it will be exposed, and this will be general knowledge at some point. And so it's incredible. It takes, you know, courage in the beginning for people to acknowledge it. So obviously you have courage, and so I thank you again for being part of the fight. And
absolutely.
You know,
out your website. You got a website too, don't you?
Yes, and so, and by the way, the fight, here's the funny part. Yes, I do, thank you. Here's the funny part. We're fighting for victims and our country. We're fighting for freedom.
Yeah.
You know, so we're
absolutely.
It's a win-win. So anyway, the website for to read about targeting, and I'm gonna add more stuff to it too, but it's already pretty good, targetedevidence.com, and that one is, like I said, it has like court admissible evidence. And then my personal one, which is good because it shows what it's like, and it shows people how to collect their own evidence and what to do, and that's lifeofjohnchristiana.com, and that's spelled like Christian with an A on the end. And anyway, it's all about documentation. It's all about sharing the truth, and so we're going to get it done. So thank you so much, Reverend, for being part
of
the
fight. Anytime you want to come on, just let me know.
Got it.
And you can call me anytime. And
on
that note,
love to.
All right. On that note, we have just ran out of time. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, same time, same station. All my TIs, Reverend Pinckney, love you. Talk to you soon.